and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. A day 429. How are we all doing? I don't think Mike had the chat open when I refreshed. Ah, hello, Jonathan, with some strange symbols. Hey, even though you put an extra character in, you're still in first. Congratulations. Ah, how is life treating you today, Jonathan? Hello, Renee. How are you doing? Do let me know. Oh, I had some fun and games today with names. Oh, but before we do that, what have you all been up to? Hello, Tony. It's alarmingly warm in Manchester, isn't it, Jonathan? We need to do something about this. If you could possibly ensure that this weather's taken away, taken out and flogged, I would be very happy. That would do me nicely. In fact, it's been a bit of a day here, hasn't it, Mike? Luckily, not actually involving us. But when I say a bit of a day, you know, everybody can't wait to get back to normal. And I'm like, hang on a minute. You know, having been through all of this calamity, COVID-wise, wouldn't it be nice to get back to a better normal? But no, this morning, motorway totally jammed from 8 o'clock. Unfortunately, I'm presuming that woman jumped off the bridge.
I guess so.
But she died anyway. And the motorway was jammed for about 8 hours. Yeah, I think I preferred it when we were all at home and things like that weren't happening. But anyway, hello, Paul. Jonathan is alive and well and looking for inspiration for dinner. Well, obviously gherkins, dear boy. Something with gherkins.
I had gherkins.
Did you?
Yeah, in my salad. Well, they're sliced cucumber things. They're like sliced gherkins.
Sounds fab. I don't think I had those, did I? Imagine I haven't had a salad yet.
You probably won't like them.
Oh, good grief. Mike's turned into my mother.
Well, do you like them?
Have I had them?
I don't know.
Oh, he's been keeping them for himself. Interesting. The things you find out, eh? Oh, dear, dear me. No, I've been... I was sleeping in episodes. Yes. I was up till about 4:30, but then I had a 7 o'clock. So I managed to get about 2 hours sleep. Then I was up again. Then I went back to bed again. So that's been my day. I don't know what day it is. I actually thought it was Wednesday. But the good news is it's not. Why is that good news? Because I'm not ready for Friday yet. Oh, so I've got mails to write. I've got all sorts to do.
If it was Wednesday, you'd be a year older.
And that's true. I'd forgotten that. I'm not moving from 21. I told you, Mike. Not happening. I know they say with age comes experience, but, you know, I can do without both. Oh, hello, Kim. Well, today's excitement in the name game, you know, like we were saying yesterday, I was in this session and I don't know how I knew. There was no image. There was just a name. And the name was Renee. So not our Renee, obviously. It's another Renee. Anyway, the person doing the session was chatting away and then said, any questions? So Renee put their hand up and he started saying, oh, Renee's got the hand up. Only he said her hand up. And I thought, just a minute, isn't Renee a guy? Then I'm like, oh, good grief. What pronouns do they use?
They should have used there.
Well, that's what I would have done. If I'm not sure, that's exactly what I would have done. You know, say Renee's got the hand up, which is the gender neutral pronouns. So I'm thinking, I'm sure Renee's a guy and identifies as a guy. But I thought maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, nobody replied. Because if the host said she once, she and her, in whatever was said, it was she and her. Anyway, eventually, Renee unmuted themselves and was definitely a boy. And the presenter went white. The presenter just went, right, but carried on regardless, didn't apologise or anything, just carried on. So I thought that was funny. Oh, exactly, Kim. Just never use pronouns. Just talk around it. That was the first one. But then we had a Karen and a Toby. And you know what, don't you? Karen was a boy and Toby was a girl. So, from now on, I am referring to everybody as they and them. It's easier. Karen, there was an E in it. Karen. So same as my middle name. But Toby, I've never heard of a girl called Toby. I was wondering what it was short for. Anyway, fun and games were had.
Tobarnia.
Is it? I honestly don't know. Never seen a girl called Toby.
It could be Tobarnia.
Tony's got stamps. He's going paperless. Oh, excellent. I remember Kim getting her stamps. They were in the COVID cave for 3 weeks. And Kim was chomping at the bit to get to release them. Jonathan has not been in Slack for weeks. Feel so far behind. Set myself a task of getting up to speed this weekend. You could just jump back in, Jonathan, and not worry about it. So stamps are in, are they? My stamp, I've been using it for that long. It never ran out of ink, which was quite impressive. But it stopped in 2020. They last about 11 years, if they've got a date thing on. So mine had like received, even had faxed on it, emailed, scanned, and then you change the date. So I had to invest in a new one.
I had a stamp. I
had to give up. What did your stamp do?
It was a date stamp that you put in on the library books when I was a kid.
I had one as a kid. Yeah, I just wanted to play with it.
Yeah, I did. And I think Avi got me one from school.
And I remember, instead of just having, because Mum was good with things like this, instead of just having like a black ink pad that came with it that was really poor, it was like a tiny plastic thing the size of a stamp. Mum said, we'll get you some proper pads, ink pads. And she did. I had black, blue, red, green and purple. Oh, I had a ball with that. And scraps of paper from where my dad used to work, he'd bring it home. And my granddad, who was amazing, although you weren't allowed to tell Gran, he used to go to the dog track. There was a dog track in Manchester called White City. You probably won't remember that, Jonathan, but if you know where the retail park is, as you're heading towards Altrincham on the left, just before Old Trafford, there's a big white archway. That was it. And he would always say, because if you won, you had to give them the card, the ticket, the betting ticket. And he would come home with fistfuls of them. And my gran would be like, I say you lost again. Oh, no, I collected these for Elaine. So I was stamping those as well. Oh, I had an absolute blast. It is full of furniture shops now. And there's a huge Aldi, isn't there? And I think there's a Marks and Spencer's food court, possibly. Just by the pub. But that used to be a dog race track, Jonathan. It was absolutely huge. I think they knocked that down. Luckily, Grandad was dead before he went, because he'd have been heartbroken. Oh, it was his second home. He loved it. Loved it. But they did leave the archway. And where that massive junction is, where that is, that used to be a roundabout. And opposite, there was some... do you remember that, Mike? There was a motorbike second-hand reseller. And it was really funny when you saw... I wish I'd got some pictures, but, you know, back in the day, you didn't run around taking just pictures of anything because you only had 36 on your roll and it was going to cost you a fortune to have them processed.
Or 12 in my case.
Mum wouldn't let me get that. She always got me 36. Yeah, this bike place, all the motorcycles were outside and there was like brand new ones, really flash things, but there was also reconditioned ones from the army. So it literally looked like the set of Dad's army with these green motorcycles lined up. But all of that went, which was why my mum went mad when my dad was buying an A to Z. And she said, don't buy it now, they're redoing that junction. You don't have to buy a new one. Oh, my father just loved his maps. Oh, yes, paperless. I wish you could see the state of the office. I needed Mike to bring up two boxes of papers that had yet to be processed so I could extricate one. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Colin and Cuthbert were outside of a huge fight last week. Isn't it ridiculous the things people will scrap over? If you've not heard, Colin and Cuthbert are cakes. And I think, wasn't it M&S had the rights to Colin and Aldi created Cuthbert, and they look the same. Jonathan, find a photo. Oh, the Eurovision Song Contest. When's that?
Saturday.
Oh, is it? Right. Okay. Oh, what do you mean they have the temerity to clash with By Request? Oh, should we play the Russian Grannies? An ABBA? Depends if it fits the theme. That's for tomorrow, though. Walthamstow Dogs is a housing estate now. Oh, wow. And to keep the frontage of the old building, you'd never know there was a massive estate there from the road. We used to go down to, I don't think it was Walthamstow. What was that? Was it Hackney? You remember the dog track at Hackney? This was probably early 2000s. And it was pretty derelict then. But they used to have a Sunday market. Oh, we loved that. We would travel down about once a month from Manchester and go to the Sunday market at Hackney Dogs. But eventually, I mean, my dad, oh, you should have seen him. Because when we first went, he didn't come with us. You know, you're going shopping for a day in London, you're mad. Maya loved it. Maya absolutely loved it. It must have been 2001. Because I remember we were stopping on the way. So Maya would have been a puppy, maybe 3-4 months old. Hadn't quite mastered the art of standing on three legs to whittle. So Mike was saying, I think he's getting there. I think he's getting there. So we stopped at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Dog dashes out, goes over to the bushes, tries the three-legged stand and falls over. Didn't quite make it. But that's why I know it must have been the summer of 2001. After we'd been going a couple of months, he had it. He was perfect then on three legs. He could probably have managed on two, just playing with my dad's mind. The other reason we had to stop was if we had my dad with us, was he was a smoker. So we all had to stop while he had a cigarette, which was basically like every 10 miles. Left alone, that's where he would have been. Trust me on that. But the first time he came with us, he went down the M6, down the M1, straight through London, over towards Hackney, and kept going. And when you got to Hackney on a main road, you would then turn off. And then you went through a series of side roads, which were, they weren't residential. They were more like light industry. Well, with it being Hackney and the rough end of Hackney at that, this particular week we went down, Dad was like, don't like the look of this place. And, oh, Dad, shut up. It'll be fine. You know, we've been before and you've not even been with us. We turned the corner and there was this car burnt out. Well, that was him done. He wanted to go home. I said, no, Dad, it'll be fine. And we had to leave here about 3 o'clock in the morning because there was so little parking. Oh, but we loved it. We really, really loved it. They knocked it down in the end, and it's possibly where West Ham is, isn't it?
I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, they built a big stadium for the Olympics in 2012, which put paid to the market, which was most unfortunate. So, no, we've not done that in a long time. But it was quite weird that the market took place. The track was still there. So you walked across the track and you went into the middle of the place. All the stands were still there. But derelict. The scoreboard was still there. It was the weirdest thing.
We saw a girly Sammy.
We did see a girly Sammy. Yeah, Maya was very interested. Not quite as interested as he was in Morecambe the Malamute, though.
Was Maya with us?
Yeah.
Did we have him then?
I'm sure we did. Well, he definitely went down there, because you remember that guy?
Oh, he went down there. I don't remember him being there at the time.
This guy came around the corner, and he looked like... one of the film stars, big, tall, broad, muscular, black fella. This guy was like that, about 6'7". He turned the corner, saw Maya and nearly jumped over a wall to get away. Whereas this little kid, who was about 7, dashed up and said, oh, he's like a polar bear, can I pet him? And this guy was behind the wall going, don't go near that
dog. Stroke your dog, mate. Does it bite?
Girls love him.
Do you bite, Lola?
There's a thing. Does he bite, does she bite, or does it bite?
It.
It's it. With, have you noticed with an animal, it's it, not they?
Does it bite?
Mm.
What make is it? Is it second hand?
Oh, yes, that's another one. It's second hand. Previously loved is the term we prefer. Oh, dear. Right. Hackney Marshes. Those were the days full of football pitches. Oh, I bet they're not now. Isn't it all built up round there now? I did see a fascinating video about an area in London. You might know it, Tony. I don't think I'd known it before then. I think it's on the north side of the river, heading out west somewhere, and it was some huge area that was marshy. It wasn't Hackney, it was the other end of London. It was heading out westwards. And this area was absolutely massive. And they got permission to build a theme park on it. And I'm like, I didn't know there was a theme park. No, there isn't a theme park there. But they did get permission to build it, and then it all fell through. This was in the late 80s, I think. And we're talking a theme park comparable with Disney Paris. And in the end, it went to Paris. And this thing never got built. There was something to do with the marshland had some kind of, you know, like a listed building. Only this was like a listed marshland, apparently. But I never knew that. It was probably news in London, but I wasn't in London at the time. So I totally missed all of that. It did look beautiful that you'd got all this like marshland, but then you could imagine whoever owned it would want to make money from it by building something on it. But we haven't got a theme park like that. And that was the nearest we came, apparently, which was what this video was about. Oh, Kim's just ordered glasses from Australia. They were posted today. She wrote a book on how long it's going to take. Plus the 3 weeks in the COVID cave, Kim. Or do you not bother if it's been on its way that long? Because the inside of it must be fine. I got a new stamp today. Did my order turn up? Is it downstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my stamp.
Oh.
With my new dates on it. I had to give up working with the others. What's happening over here? Why is things not happening?
Do you want to bring it up or even in the COVID cave?
Oh, it can COVID cave
COVID's
till
all
later.
Over now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's all over. Yeah. That was yesterday, wasn't it? We're all free now.
Yeah.
Everybody's hugging everybody and garbage like that. Nearly said a naughty word then. Began with an S, if you were wondering.
It wouldn't be the first time you've said it on Matt Bice FM.
That's true, actually. But, yeah, I can't read it anymore. Oh, didn't Matt Hancock have something to say yesterday? I didn't look.
That's nothing. Nearly another rude word.
What, Matt Hancock?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought about it. I thought, you know what? It'll all be complete garbage. It'll be, in the words of Boris, be careful. And if you're not careful, then we'll put you in lockdown again. And I'm just thinking, just let me get my crystal ball. Buff my crystal ball up. Oh, it'll be about 3 weeks then. So I decided not to bother. Oh, Tony, I remember that one. The substandard PPE that we paid a fortune for. Oh. Good night, Jonathan. Masks from Adidas and arrived in a day. Now, do you say Adidas or Adidas?
Adidas.
It was Adidas when I was a kid, but
Nike.
I think it could be Adidas. Oh, well, whatever. Whatever it is. Oh.
Adidas stood for something when I was a kid.
Did it?
Yeah.
Don't go there if it's rude.
All day I dream about...
Oh dear. Shopping, of course. Little doggy bite was the term. It's weird that people say it with a dog if they're not sure. And the other thing they do is say she, even though Maya was a boy.
Yeah, like now, him across the road.
If I see a Samoyed, I can tell by the shape of the face if it's a boy or a girl. But that's because I know the breed. You know, stick a Labrador in front of me and I've not got a clue. Not without looking. But obviously with a Labrador, it's easier because the fur's a lot shorter. But with a Sammy, it can hide a multitude of sins. But nearly everybody said she. It's like it's a boy. It just shows you. Maybe we do need gender neutral for dogs. Oh, she's toddling outside now. She's been a bit grumbly this afternoon. Not had enough sausages. She's complaining vehemently about the staff today. Not happy. Not happy at all. Oh, Washington, D.C. was built on a swamp, so it was appropriate. Oh, that was a Trumpism, wasn't it? What did he have? Clearing the swamp or something? Draining the swamp? I didn't realise it was actually built on a swamp. Now it makes much more sense. Boris is just special with his own vocabulary. Special, all right, is Boris. Do you know, I don't know how he gets away with it. I think that's what they must teach you at Eton. You know, if there's something you don't know, just bluster your way through it. And in a way, they're right. 99% of the time, you'll get away with it. Unless you come up against some pedant, and then you won't. Oh, we had a great speech on being a pedant, or it promised to be a great speech. We'd had this guy come do a talk at our luncheon club, and he was great. It was all about, what do you call them? Like limericks, only not limericks. Oh, it'll come to me. So funny poems, and he knew them all, like The Boy on the Burning Deck and a load of others, Albert and the Lion and all of those. Absolutely fabulous. His delivery was amazing. So he decided he was going to do this presentation on pedants and being pedantic, which I thought was a tough topic to start with. But I don't think he was quite ready. You know, when you're giving a presentation, you're like, I could have done with another day's prep. And you've just got to bluster your way through it, but with confidence. That's easier if you know the topic, but you've just not actually had time to prep the delivery. He apparently, the tale I got afterwards was, he'd put the slides together and the slides weren't working properly. So he's like pressing the slides forward and that then what's coming up is not what he was talking about. And I thought, no, I've been there myself. No, it wasn't the slides. He just wasn't ready. But, it was one of those talks that had the embryonic stages of being a really good talk. I would have loved to have seen it after about 6 months when he polished it. It was really funny about how people were being pedantic and in what ways they were being pedantic. So I would... You know, knowing the guy and how good he can be and knowing the topic, I thought if we could have just melded the two together with a bit of confidence, it would have been great. Ah, never mind. So it was Drain the Swamp. Didn't he do that, though? Didn't he actually manage to reduce the number of staff or something like that? And that was what he was trying to do. I thought that was something that was on his agenda. Do you know, it's gone quiet now he's gone, hasn't it? I'm surprised because I can probably remember back as far as Jimmy Carter, who was like the quiet man, and then Reagan, wasn't it? And obviously with the special relationship between him and Margaret Thatcher, we saw a lot of him. Every president seems to have had like a lot of coverage and excitement when they come in, but Obama, the whole thing. And Biden's coming and it's like, we've not heard a word, not one word. We had... one piece of information, well, apart from the dogs, obviously, which has been tried to be played down. The 100 days, there was a speech he did for the 100 days. But other than that, it's like America doesn't exist anymore. And I thought it's amazing because for the last 5-6 years, when there was a possibility at the beginning that Donald Trump would be president, and then he was, that's all we've been hearing. And now, totally quiet. Hello, Dee. Was able to reduce the size of government a bit, but not enough. That's the trouble. It gets too top heavy. We say the same here about the NHS. There are far too many. When the NHS started, it was doctors and nurses and ancillary staff. And you look at the NHS now and it is top heavy with management. You know, management working committees, steering this, steering that. And to me, if you're working for the NHS and you're not emptying a bedpan, there's something wrong with you. You're not actually hands-on with the job. Because that's where the money needs to go. To first, frontline healthcare. Not 17 managers all managing themselves and having their offices made over and stuff like that. And a management initiative and a this initiative and a that initiative. And, you know, the person who is in there, who is in need of care, does not care about your initiatives. They care about getting help for whatever the problem is. So if it wasn't quite so top heavy, everything would work better. But we've not quite managed that yet. Biden doesn't come out and give press conferences. He hides in the White House all day long. That's what it feels like, him just not seeing him. Apart from when he fell up the stairs 3 times. That was about the only clip that I've seen. So maybe he's just doing nothing else that's newsworthy as far as the foreign press are concerned. Because I would say, well... it's in the middle of COVID, so there aren't as many press there. But there are. There are. And you know the ones that we used to see, all the press conferences we saw, where the president was at the front and they're throwing questions at him, any kind of questions. And he was supposed to answer the most stupid of questions. There just doesn't seem to have been any of that. So either they're just not asking any questions. Surely they should ask questions as intrusive, divisive, as they did with Trump, but they don't seem to be. Like, we're not seeing a thing here. Not a thing. Mind you, not seeing politicians lying through their teeth. Yeah. Maybe that's a good thing. Who knows? I have got a red dentist stick. Red dentist stick. Come on, give me a paw. Go on, you can do it. Oh, look at that. Do we not want that? Do we not want that? What's the matter? That's twice she's refused that dentist stick.
Oh.
I think it needs infusing with cream cheese or something.
Oh.
Something that she would like. No?
Hmm.
Infuse it with something. Get her interested in it. Oh. The press are in love with Biden. They won't question him at all. Meanwhile, things are not going in a good direction. That's what I mean. But surely... Okay, I get that a lot of the press asked Trump a lot of questions, and some were downright rude, some were downright stupid. Most of them were to put him on the spot. But is there no section of the press that's the other way and wants to make Biden feel like that? Or are they all on the side of Biden can do no wrong? That feels wrong. Bizarre. Oh, Dean remembers a story about the NHS. To reward managers, there was a bonus if they got enough patients seen in 6 weeks or something. Then some whistleblowers came out and said if they missed someone to just keep postponing them because it was already a lost cause and they couldn't try to get someone else in for the 6 weeks. Oh, it is. It's just off, isn't it? I worry about things like that, incentives like that. There was a one at my doctor's and it was something to do with, you know, like a test you could have. So be it a cholesterol test, a heart function test, liver function, whatever it was, there was a test. And they had put a lot of money. Oh, look at that. Now it's much better, Daddy. Let Mummy hold it and I'll lick all the cream cheese off it. So whatever this test was, they'd really gone to town advertising it. And then you were getting a letter from your doctor saying, you know, come and take this test. But it was as stupid as like an ovarian cancer test for men or a prostate cancer test for women. It was that ridiculous. And we're just getting these letters and it was like, well, just, you know, answer that and say yes, but then you don't actually have to come in. And you're thinking this is wrong on so many levels. And I hear that particularly from people who work there. It is just not on. Maybe Biden has fallen down a large hole left in the White House for former tenants. Well, he's certainly quiet enough. It's fascinating thinking, I wonder if we'll ever hear from him again.
I've forgotten he was president.
Yeah, it's that bad, isn't it? In terms of just no information at all. Medics should never have the benefits of incentives. Totally agree, Renee. Many years ago, it was a joke in the 70s.
Like an invisible president.
In the 70s, I knew somebody who worked for a medical supply company. And they would give all kinds of incentives to the doctors, you know, like free foreign holidays, free TVs, for giving their drugs. And they were prescribing drugs in circumstances they were not appropriate for. Which is why I feel like now, if you have some kind of infection, which you can just get from nowhere. I got an ear infection. No idea where from. No one else anywhere near me had this ear infection. But I had this ear infection. And it was bad enough to need antibiotics. And I knew it was. This was the last time I ever saw the doctor. And I went in. It wasn't my doctor. There was always a locum. So this wasn't my doctor. Oh, you're over the other side now, are you? Want it holding over there? Get down on the mat and eat it on there. Instead of having me covered in cream cheese. Tissue. So I'd been in and going on about the notes and all the rest of it and just said it's not bad enough for antibiotics. It was. Trust me, if it had been much worse, it'd have dropped off. And I literally thought to myself, do you know what? I need to see a vet. Because at least they'd actually treat you. They don't make a judgment. A lot of doctors make a judgment based on the actual patient. So male and female will be viewed differently. Somebody, who goes in really smart against somebody who's frazzled having just got the kids to school. You know, one will be treated better than another. There will be different treatments based on factors unrelated to what the treatment should be. In the end with that one, and this was really, really early days of the internet, I got online and I just thought, I wonder if you can buy antibiotics online. And the answer was, in this country, no. But I did find a doctor on Harley Street in London, which is the big road in London for doctors, who did consultancies via like email. So basically you filled this form in and you sent it off, you know, with your symptoms on it. And then a prescription came back the other way. So this was so funny. It was really early in the internet, you know, 94, something like that. It's ridiculously early. So I filled all this form in that, sent off the money for the consultation, came back. You had to give them a chemist near to you, and he faxed the prescription through to the chemist. I was that bad, I couldn't have gone out. So my mum goes out to pick it up from around the corner. So obviously there's a queue in there, and I don't know what visions you have of people in the UK, but there's a lot of people on a lot of drugs, and I really don't know whether they all actually need them, but they seem to count it as a badge of honour. The more drugs they're on, the better. So it's like, well, I'm on these. Well, I got those doubled and I take double that now. Oh, I'm going to see my doctor, see if I need to take double. It's some kind of weirdness that is going on. So there was a lot of people in the queue. So mum goes round, and how you do it is you normally have a prescription from your doctor. So they give you a, this is back in the day, I believe it's digital now. But back in the day, you got a piece of paper and you would take that to the chemist and you would hand that straight to the chemist, and that would then go and be dealt with for dispensing. And you would sit on a chair and you would wait. So when mum turned up, there was a queue of people in front of her, but they were all sat down. So they'd already done the piece of paper and whatever. So the lady says to mum, have you got a prescription you want filling? And mum said, yes. So she said, right, OK, then, and put a hand out. And mum said, it was faxed through to you from Dr. So-and-so on Harley Street. And the woman looked and went, oh, please do come through and sit down here in this nice chair. They'd never had a prescription faxed, and certainly not from Harley Street. She got the best treatment on the planet. Everybody else just had to wait while they dealt with her. The pharmacist came out personally. Oh, you should have seen it. It was ridiculous. And I did get some medication. But, you know, it shouldn't have to be like that, should it? Oh, dear. Right, let's catch up here. Doctors have extra income from incentives. They do, and that really does make it wrong. I remember this, a similar kind of thing happened with lawyers. And, I mean, in less significant than that, because with lawyers there is that element of no win, no fee to start with. But I was working for a company and he had a fee earners meeting. So fee earners are people who generate income for the business. So they'd either be solicitors, article clerks, legal executives. The ones who aren't fee earners are people in a support role. So secretaries and assistants, managers, that kind of thing. So this was just for the lawyers and associates. And he said, I'm putting in a league system. And I, you know, bearing in mind at this stage, I think I was 24, 25. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, what? And basically, you got points. It sounds like Death Race 2000. Let me know if anybody's ever watched that. You got points for running people over in that. And this felt similar. You got points for how much money you got for a client. And I thought, well, fair enough, because you'd be doing that anyway. You would hold out until you got the best deal for your client. But then it was, you got more points if you got it to trial, and you got extra points for this and extra points for that. And I'm thinking, but just a minute, you could have a client who doesn't want to go to trial. You know, they're traumatized with whatever's happened enough, and they have briefed you that they don't want to go to trial. So can you get them a good deal, but can you do it before it gets to trial? And I've taken things up to like being stood in court, ready to go in and then settle. And that was basically what he was saying. You know, we don't want any early settlements. We want to take it all as far as we can, ramp up the money as far as we can. And there was a bonus in it for whoever won the league. I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. I thought, I just won't do it. I will not do that. he got a guy in to oversee this league thing. And he would take all... So he's there as like an advisor. So he wanted you to rock up to his office with all your cases. And then he would tell you what you should do with these cases. So I rocked up with the cases, fair enough. And I thought, this is going to be really interesting. And it was settle it, settle it, settle it, settle it. Or take that to court, take that to court, take that to court. And I'm like, but you're not even reading these cases. You've no idea what's going on with this. So I remember I'd already decided I was going to have my notice in. I wasn't working like that. Rather have no job than that job. So, but I had to hold out for 3 days. I can't remember why. And this guy wanted these cases settled. So I remember getting the junior. I said, can you lose these files for a few days? That was it. He wanted the filing cabinets moving into this huge boardroom. And my files going with it. So I said, can you lose those files for a couple of days? I remember buying her a box of chocolates. She was thrilled. I said, just put them somewhere as long as you don't lose them. But, you know, take them out of my sight. And more importantly, take them out of his. And then on the day I left, my principal said, well, why are you leaving? So I sat down and told him what this guy was up to. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, those letters are dictated. They were all there by this stage on the files, neatly lined up, ready for the secretary to type them up. I said, but I'm not signing them. I said, all the work's done, but I'm not signing them. I'm going. And he was like, what? And I said, you can't trust that guy. Do not trust that guy. So I left. And about 3-4 months later, I got talking to one of the secretaries. And she said, my God, you got out just in time. And I said, why? What happened? This bloke, this guy who was in charge of like advising you, only made the reason that he wanted the money to come into the client account was because he had access to the client account and he stole it and disappeared with it. It's like millions of pounds, which meant that the solicitor had to make it good because this person that he'd got in, the one in charge of, he'll tell you what to do because he's an expert. He wasn't even a lawyer, which I'm glad I left. The Law Society were all over them. They'd lost all the clients' money. Unbelievable. But yeah, what if you were like, and one of them who wasn't a solicitor, he was a legal executive, was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a sports car out of this. And I'm thinking, there's people whose lives have been destroyed here and all you can think about is a new sports car. What is wrong with you? But yeah, that's how it worked. So same with lawyers as it is with doctors, trust me on that. Right, Kim says they're mostly on the side of the Biden administration, plus he couldn't sit down with a hard interview. He's just not capable. And we don't want to embarrass ourselves on the international stage. But isn't that a damning indictment, Kim? Mind you, Boris. Yeah, can see exactly where you're coming from with that one. Oh. Dee's glad it's relatively quiet from America from a European perspective. You're tired of how much America's in the news. That's true. It was wall to wall, wasn't it? Mind you, the same thing happened with Brexit. It was wall-to-wall Brexit until COVID arrived, and then Brexit just dropped off a cliff. Now, I know by that stage, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, we'd already Brexited, but we were in the transition year. So what happened was the 31st of January was given as the day we left Europe, and it was. Mike and I were at a Queen concert. I remember it well. So we'd actually gone, but they were in a year of transition. And I thought, I can't take another year of BBC coverage of Brexit. It would have killed me probably. But then the COVID thing came in. Not a word about Brexit. Not one word. So same thing with America. America, America, America. Trump, 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 Trump. Oh, no, it's Biden. Nothing to say. That's exactly what's happened. But if Boris is right, and it is all over, barring the shouting, which, you know, it's not, but we suspend your disbelief. Let Boris have his moment. It'll go quiet for a while, in which case, what'll be on the news? I can't remember a news cycle that was just standard average news, where it was like a potpourri, a bit of this and a bit of that, rather than a wall of Trump, a wall of COVID, a wall of Brexit. I can't remember what that was like. But by now, I've given up watching the news, which is making me a very happy bunny. Can't be doing with the news. Right, let's carry on. Trouble with the alternative, it's Corona all the way. It is here at the moment, but I fear that will tail off a bit now. And it'll be interesting to see what they do fill it with. He doesn't mind the big things, but sometimes it was the slightest stuff getting full reports. Yeah, that was like that was their job, make Trump look stupid. You know, put him into a position, ask him a question. However you do it, make him look stupid, and then we'll report on it. It was as if that was the brief. It was shocking. Mrs. Tony's family had to take in bottles of drink for the doctors in Slovakia just to get to speak to them about her dad, who was in the last stages of cancer, taking him from us. That's awful. You couldn't believe just how much of the old communist ways are still upheld. Do you know, it is shocking, isn't it? Your expectation of what it should be like and what it's like is just shocking. The difference, unbelievable. I'm with Kim. Don't watch the news anymore. Read all about it. Shut it down. I do look at the news. I look at the newspaper front covers because they're just hysterical. That usually about 2 o'clock in the morning. They are on both the BBC and Sky. And I do look at those, but literally it's just casting your eyes over them and giggling because they're like comics. I will whip through the headlines. And what I've noticed is if you just swipe up and down in a news app and each one is like one little entry. So think of it being like a tweet. How many of them are just pure misery? You know, there was just in the last week, the stories that have been covered. There was a boy who was out playing football just on a field in Blackpool, got struck by lightning. He's dead. Then there was a house explosion. I think that was in North Manchester somewhere.
Bury, wasn't it?
North-west Manchester. Oh. A house exploded and a two-year-old boy's dead. And so it went on.
Have you seen the evening news site?
No, not at a look.
Boy 12 critically ill after horror hit and run in Chorlton. Tributes paid to boy 17 who died falling onto the M60. Woman dies after falling from bridge over the M60. Family of crash victim disgusted after themed funeral stops.
A themed funeral? Pardon me, but what's a themed funeral?
Funeral with a theme?
What kind of theme can you give a funeral? I've seen coffins that have got like football paraphernalia on.
I don't know. I'll have a look.
But I thought there was no restrictions on funerals now. Oh, they can't make their mind up. But you see what I mean? It's just...
He wanted a cops and robbers themed service.
Oh, he's a kid. Let him have what he wants. I've always said when I go, I want pandas. That I want flowers that are in the shape of a panda. Now, they do that, only it tends to be a teddy bear, you know, for kids. And I said, well, you know, you can put white flowers in and paint some black ones if necessary, but I want panda flowers. My mum used to just look at me and roll her eyes and say, I'm going first, I'm not doing that. Oh, she had loads of flowers, didn't she? But she didn't have any panda ones. No, she had her favourites, though. But, you know, I look at the headlines and I think, what do you want me to do about this? It's misery, misery, misery. And I can't do anything about it. It's horrible. And I can't do anything about it. All it's going to do is make me feel bad. But it seems to be this. I swear the news used to be about news, not just somebody's dad, which is so sad, but I can't do anything. Oh, dear. Hello, Sarah. GP's got a massive incentive 2 years ago to relocate out of London. Pretty sure it was as much as 20,000 just for taking a job. There's a shortage of GPs in London now. Can't think why. Why did they want them to do that, Tony? What was the benefit in that? Because more houses are being built, or housing, not necessarily houses, but housing. You know, like the dock developments, where instead of like, whereas years ago you might have had like a two up, two down terrace, now you've got like a 20-storey thing with 10, 20 times the people in it. I would have thought it was more important, not less. What were they thinking? Dee says it makes you think how important some things actually are if they can be dropped so easily when something else comes along. Exactly. It might be important, sure, but not so crazy alarming as things are made to seem in the news. I know. How many times, if you ever do watch the news, do you get that breaking thing across the bottom? The only things in my lifetime that have been breaking news was like Diana died, you know, real big stuff like
Don't
that.
Don't forget the storming of the embassy.
Yeah, the storming of the embassy. That was 70
in the days when we had a news flash.
Yeah, when there was a news flash.
And we interrupt this programme.
Well, the laugh of it was, this is how stupid it is. We have two, in fact, I think we've got three, but I never watch Al Jazeera, don't ask. We actually have an Al Jazeera news channel. But the BBC and Sky both have a 24 news cycle. They broke into the news channel, with a breaking news thing. And I thought, well, you're the news channel, just tell us. No, they actually broke in to the news channel to say that Prince Philip had died. I thought, you're breaking into the news to tell me some news. That is seriously bad, isn't it? But yeah, they did. They broke into that. So something like that, that's breaking news. But they're not really... When it says breaking, it doesn't mean breaking, does it? And it's like the old thing that they say, drop the dead donkey. Most of the news is a dead donkey. It's just which dead donkey you're feeding us today. Which is sad, but that is how it goes. Unbelievable. The press worked really hard to make Trump look the fool. Granted, he gave them a lot to work with. I think on the whole... I mean, I've got obvious issues with some of the tricks he got up to, but he seemed fairly honest with them. He got himself into a lot of trouble by not prevaricating. You know, Prevarication Johnson. He tries to get himself in less trouble by bumbling his way through it. Trump actually said things as they were, and the press didn't really know what to deal with it. But like Boris he sometimes says things, but most of it is hedging his bets. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? Whoa, 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 whoa. And he'll give you 14 different answers. And then when whatever comes to pass, well, I said that. Oh, that's what he's like. So the idea is you've got to get your doctor tanked up, Tony, and then they'll talk to you. That is appalling. Oh, and at that point, Pete arrives. Well, we don't mean you, obviously, Pete. The news is usually gruesome. Oh, you're quite right, Renee. You sometimes watch the children's news, which has funny items in it. We used to have one, John Craven's News Round. And how many times on there were the stories about pandas and the polar bears and stuff? And they did tackle big stories, you know, like the war in Sarajevo. But they did it from a kind of...
Dumbed it down.
No, I don't think they did dumb it down. I think they just tried to explain it, but it wasn't gruesome. They were actually trying to explain what was happening and why Faction A was fighting with Faction B. And I thought, you know, that is actually not on the adult news. It's just bombarding you with like, oh, you know, when they put up the little thing that says, "You, if you're sensitive, you might not want to watch this thing. In other words, it's going to be really gruesome. Yeah, there was none of that on the kids' news. I used to love that. Oh, loved it. By the way, we can take Harry back home. He's worn his welcome. Don't think he wants to come back in. I don't think we want him. Well said, Sarah. No, thanks. He's there now. You can have him. Oh, thought you were going to say I want a panda car to take me off. Oh, and chicken. What should you do with chicken? Chicken. Right, give me this one. Right. What's that one? That's Scooby-Doo. Put it on your nose. I think she wants to take chicken in the garden.
She's been in the garden. She's had
doesn't
four,
mean she doesn't want to
four
go again.
Whittles and a whole pack of sausages.
Really? Do you know, I'm quite thinking, actually, Tony, that's not a bad idea, a full panda car. I read exactly what he said, Kim, and I don't really understand it. I mean, the phrase that's upset everybody is, it's bonkers. That can have kind of two meanings. It can be a nasty that's bonkers. But bonkers is more of a word that means like cute crazy rather than crazy crazy. But I don't know why he would be saying that about the First Amendment anyway. He isn't even a citizen yet, so what's it got to do with him? And like you say, he's out, lasted his welcome. It could well have done him more than one way. Because he hasn't got any paperwork yet, has he? Or can he stay because he's married to Meghan? But then they got married over here. I know the marriage would be valid over there, but you'd still need to do paperwork. He should keep his mouth shut, is what he should do. I'm loving that, Dee. All the Brits and Yanks are in here with the controversy on the world stage, while us Irish have no global controversy. Granted, this is because we are utterly insignificant in the world stage. You're not. You're not. You are home to a very, very interesting Apple campus, aren't you? You've got the tax situation going on with Europe, which is pretty much decided in Apple's favour. But I think you are a force to be reckoned with, but nobody knows it yet. You're just keeping it quiet. What about the Dutch talking about insignificance? Oh, now that was mentioned. Isn't there some tournament or other that Holland are bidding for, or they've got, or something?
No idea.
I'm sure I read something about that.
What's Eurovision?
Tanked up sounds good. Where do I apply? Ah, now, Pete. You'd have to move. That'll put you right off. Mind you, you've got your mesh network. You take it with you. Corporate tax brought companies here like Google and Facebook. Easy, because we're a small country. I don't think you're actually that small. You've probably got a small population, but that works out quite nicely in terms of jobs, doesn't it? Because there's so much countryside that could be developed in a good, positive way. I'm thinking Apple aren't in Dublin. It's not all settling around Dublin. At least it's spreading around the country to take jobs outside of Dublin. But small enough that you can pretty much travel easily. I loved it over there. I did. I thought it was a lovely, lovely place. I could definitely go back there again, see all the countryside and enjoy my little self. I even went shopping, which is most unusual for me. It was tech stuff that I bought, but there again. Right. They couldn't recruit GPs to work in the rural areas. So that was the carrot for the newly qualified doctors to plug the gaps, like with just so many GPs sitting around in London. That's ridiculous. Isn't it that they've not got that many GPs because it's such a tough job? The hours they're expected to work and stuff like that. I mean, whatever the strings were on the 20k to relocate, it's short-sighted. It's just moving the problem from one area to another. Oh, apparently he can stay as long as he's married to Meghan. I wonder how long that'll be. I'll just leave that there. So over here in Ireland, the big news recently was how our health service had a massive hack that's crippled their computer network. Hackers are asking for lots of money to release them, and it's caused major issues in hospitals. Yeah, I think we had one of those in Coventry. It was in that book. You know, that book that I recommended, stunning, stunning book. And it explained a lot why hospitals and health services are targeted with these attacks. Let me go find it. I think it was called. See you later. You're going to say goodbye to everybody.
Night, night.
He'll be back shortly. Mike's going into his meetings. Just put the chair in the way and leave her with me. We're going to be good, aren't we? And if you're not, you're going to know about it. It was called Hacker something. Let's try. I know who it was. It was Charles Arthur. But the reason why a lot of hospitals have problems is the fact that some very expensive equipment only works with older versions of Windows and they cannot be upgraded. Otherwise, the equipment breaks. But that leaves them open to attacks, because it's running all software, so it's just most unfortunate, but that's how it goes. Yeah, it's Cyber Wars, it's called. So this is, let me get the link. It was a really good book. I listened to the audio version, as ever, because I'm doing 10 million other things. But this is the book, Cyber Wars. And it not only explains it, but it actually takes you through things that have actually happened. Settle down, stop eating that plug. God almighty, she's in a mood tonight. It's a really good book, highly recommend it. Right, okay, what else have we got going on up here? I saw that episode of Grey's. It was fascinating. And what was handy was Jackson being a multimillionaire. That was very handy, wasn't it? can't solve the problem. But I remember Bailey running round. No, we're not baying him, we're not baying him. Sent out possibly a bit of a dodgy message there. Just cut out at the wrong moment. Where'd you go to get tanked up? Tony will give you an exact location. But basically, doctors have to be bribed to see you, even in dire situations, and they are paid with alcohol. I wonder if that's tax deductible. Right. I think Jonathan's gone, Tracy. NHS IT is so poor, rarely gets upgraded. It's easily hacked. Exactly. That was what this book was saying. They did get it back. And it wasn't that there was that much missing. Maybe an hour to an hour and a half's worth of information missing. It was the time it took to restore it and make sure that in the restoration of it, they didn't open up to the hack again. Which is not something that you can test. I mean, we all make backups of to varying degrees. But how often do you actually check restoring something? So literally, what I did last night, I think I've got too much time on my hands. No, what I did last night, I was thinking as I was watching one of these sessions, what if X happened? So, you know, what if this drive broke? What if the cloud was down? And what I'd done was I got my stuff in Rome, and I've done a lot of work on Rome in the last 6 to 8 weeks. And it would be a major calamity if I could not get to it. So I've set up automatic backups every hour. Grand. And what do you do with that backup if calamity strikes? So first off, I thought, well, what would the calamity be? And I thought, well, let's assume Rome is offline, because that's the worst scenario. That's not just your code, you know, you've not got access to it. It's your internet. That the worst situation is that Rome's down. So you know I have Obsidian. And I thought, could I take a Rome backup and open it in Obsidian and carry on working? Or at least get access, including all the links working internally. So I've created links internally in Rome. Can I get that to work in Obsidian in a crisis? So that was my challenge for the night. So there I am about 3:30 this morning thinking, I must test that Obsidian thing. So it was doing a backup every hour, dutifully. So I took one of these backups, put it on another drive and pointed Obsidian at it. And yes, it just carried on working. Oh, bliss. But, you know, do you actually test your backups to the point, not just of saying, there's the drive, there's the backup drive. Oh, yes, it's the same. Have you actually opened those files? Have you tried your workflow? Now you've got this hole in your setup for the day. And probably not. So that was why I did it. I did. And it worked. Right. You had a hacker shut down a gas pipeline on the East Coast. No gas at the pumps. They ended up paying the hackers a large sum. This is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you wonder about the IT infrastructure and the staff that they've got, that could actually happen in the first place. Does the NHS IT have different systems that don't talk to one another? In a way, that might be good. If system A gets infected, system B is fine. Leave it alone. But not good from the perspective of everything running smoothly, I wouldn't suspect. No strings for the 20k at all. They didn't even have to stay for a certain length of time. I was going to ask that, Tony, because if you're going to hand out that kind of money, somebody could go out, do it, get the 20k and then move back. A relocation payment, not repayable. The local surgery is a retired GP, must be 70 to 75, who walks in with walking sticks and looks more like a patient than a doctor. The last doctor I saw, not personally, was one that was at the local hospital. And Mike had gone in with a kidney stone. And is it registrar that is likely to be on A&E? He called for a consult anyway with a consultant. So he said, Mr. So-and-so, the consultant's coming down to have a look. You know, I think this, but we'll see what he says. So he was being ultra cautious. With, oh, we'll keep him in overnight and we'll do this and we'll do that. Anyway, this guy came down, this consultant, And he started talking. And I thought, I hope Mike's understanding this, because I can tell you I'm not. The guy was Russian. I don't think he was speaking Russian, but you know, with like, with somebody speaking in a foreign language, sometimes the words are wrong and sometimes the pronunciation's wrong. And then you're dealing with an accent. I couldn't understand a word this guy was saying, but I got the gist of it, like, yeah, I'm discharging you. And I thought, well, the other guy, he was really concerned and I could understand what he was saying. Anyway, it was like, all right, okay then, right, and, you know, that's that. Settle down. Stop looking under that chair for an escape. That's better. Over with chicken, little madam. So, yeah, he was going to discharge him. So we got the paperwork sorted out. And as we were going out, at the front of A&E, there's usually like quite a big desk area and computers, and the staff will like work on the computers. So this registrar or junior doctor, whatever he was sat there working. And we was walking past and he said, "You okay?" And he said, "Yeah, he's just discharged him." And he went, "Has he?" He was really shocked. Oh, so maybe we're short of doctors. I don't know. Oh, the delivery guy from the grocers just dumped the news that they're renovating, so you cannot order groceries for the next 4 weeks. All of the supermarkets unavailable to deliver. Houston, we have a problem. Oh, food parcels for Renee. Food parcels. That's silly, isn't it, in the middle of a global pandemic? I got a letter this week from the bank, and I thought, really, in the middle of the pandemic? Come into the branch. I thought, I'm going nowhere. Coming into the branch, not happening. I'll do a Zoom with you. But other than that, not happening. I think that's just ridiculous. Some IT consultants got loads of government money to set up such an unholy mess. The thing is, Alex, those IT consultants, and I'm loving the quotes, are probably family members or more distant relations to most of the government. That's how it happens. We saw that with the PPE thing, which is just criminal. It really is. They're not IT consultants with any pedigree. Let's put it like that. What are you doing over there? Mike's got something on underneath his desk and she's interested in it. Is it the box of bones that you're interested in? The biscuit bones. We'll sort it out in a minute, Lola. Right, so food parcels for Renee. Let's know what you need. That is just ridiculous. Right, carrying on. Is Mike escaping all alone? Mike's escaped. Pete, Mike is next door. He's in the studio. He's got two meetings back to back because this weekend, I think it starts Thursday. Let me have a look at the calendar. Right, calendar. Hang on. Opening on the wrong screen. Where you go. That's excellent. Right, let's get the calendar up on this screen. And Friday. It's the national conference on Friday for the Catanians. So it's a 2-day thing. It's going from 12:30 to 5 o'clock on Friday and 8:30 a.m. to 2 o'clock on Saturday. And Mike is heading up the IT team. So they've already had their dress rehearsals last week. Mike's been making videos. I should get him to show you one on the timeline, all the stuff that's needed on the timeline for these videos. They're not exactly like cartoon videos, but they're instructional videos with no talking head. Because, you know, cognitive overload, given the age of Catanians. So he's done all of that, and right now he is in a planning session. And after that, he has another planning session. I don't know why they're two different meetings, but they are. So yes, Mike is a very busy boy at the moment. So many GPs due to retire over the next 5 years, and there isn't the sort of numbers needed coming through to replace them. That seems to be true. When our doctor that we've been with for years and years, I mean, she knows us by sight, but we've not seen her in a professional capacity. She decided to shut down the local practice and only have one practice instead of two. So on the off chance that, you know, it's probably better to have a doctor that's close by, I did the search. There's something on the NHS website, and I did that, putting the postcode in. And the one closest to us is called Fursway Medical Centre. It may as well have Abandon Hope, All Ye Who Enter Here, over the front of it. It has the worst reputation. it's not the actual practice, because it's huge and it's new. So it's not the equipment or stuff like that. It can't be. But I know people who have left the place crying. It's been that bad. I know one person who left because they did, is it a liver, possibly a liver function test or something, and said that she was an alcoholic. And she's not. She's got a condition where people know much more about this than I will, but there's this condition. And if you give her a liver function test, it will come back and say she's an alcoholic, but she's not. It's caused by some other drugs that she's on for some other thing entirely. And they would not believe her. She tried to explain. She showed them the prescription she had from elsewhere. No, they just would not have it. She is actually a nurse and they wouldn't believe it. So she left and she went somewhere else. So they offered me that one as like, there's a waiting list, but that's the closest one. We think you should go there. And I thought, well, you can forget that. So I then started looking around the others. And the five that came up are all within, well within, 1 mile of me. I would say more like 3/4 of a mile. And none of them had any spare capacity. So there just was no way to even get a GP. Yeah, like I say, you could have gone on the waiting list for the other one, but I won't bother because I know what they're like. So we just stuck with where we were. So our doctor is actually miles and miles and miles away. The other side of Johnny, our doctor is. But, you know, she leaves us alone. I leave her alone. And it works well. Once I'd persuaded her to stop sending me mails about tests, because again, like you're saying, there's a kind of incentive thing. She has to show that she has offered you a particular test and that you have said no. And that way she gets brownie points for it. But I just didn't want the letter because that would set me off. It was a trigger for me. So don't mail me. Anyway, in the end, she came round to my way of thinking because it was just costing her a stamp. She might as well not bother. But yeah, it's not good trying to find a GP. That's for sure. The T's and C's have got worse and we've just got rid of a few hundred anaesthetists despite being short of them in a pandemic. We mentioned earlier before you arrived, Pete, about how ridiculous it was that the NHS is like top heavy with management and that if you're not actually treating a patient, could you go and leave the money for somebody who is? There just seems to be so many levels of management involved. Do you remember that programme I mentioned? And I'm sure some of you had seen it. Jerry Robinson fixes the NHS. I just love Jerry Robinson. The questions he asks are just so practical. And, you know, he did bump up against egos, but he did make an impact in the end. What are you doing? Settle down on that mat. Instead of sitting behind my chair. Compared to when Pete started medicine, consultants have a real terms pay cut 30%. Load more hoops to jump through. Ah, this is the box ticking exercises, isn't it? You're going to do it again, you'd not stay in the UK. I hear of a lot of medical students come qualified, but in the first 2 years. Is that residency, junior doctor, whatever that bit is, first 2 years, who go to Australia. And apparently they get a lot, there's a lot of churn in Australia for A&E people to just attend emergency medicine stuff. I don't know if this is shark bites or whatever, but every YouTuber that's a medic that I've ever seen has said, oh, and I'm thinking of taking a year out in Australia. But they don't mean a year out. They're working, but doing 1 year on something specific. And Australia seems to be where it's at. I will have a look at that link. My GP's bad words were said. He rushes you out the door. I found out if I bring up the topic of music, me who doesn't even listen to the lyrics, he'll ramble on about that and I'll get some extra time. Oh dear, at least you know the tricks. It's appalling, isn't it? I must admit, I'm not one for talking if I ever need to see a GP. It goes as far as I walk in, she says, how are you? I say, fine, which is ridiculous, isn't it? Because I wouldn't be a GP's if I was fine. But I say fine. And then she says, OK, so what can I do for you today? And instead of me saying, well, you know, I've got this ailment or this symptom or that, I just say, you know, 40 septrin, I'll see you next time. And she usually just gives me what I want and off I go. Because she knows full well I'm not exactly mainlining antibiotics, am I? Don't think I've had any for 20 years. Oh, but that works for us. But, you know, my aunt was in there every 6 weeks. She would say, she was the kind of person. I was in the lift outside Tesco, and I'm going up in the lift, and I'm thinking, I'm sure I know that lady. I'm sure I know her. And then I thought, where would I know her from? This was many years ago. And the lady said, hello. I said, hello. So, and then I'm still thinking, who is she? And she said, not seen you for a while, so I trust you're keeping well. I thought, good grief, it's the doctor. So I said, yes, thank you, very well. But my aunt, she would see her like at the checkout at Tesco's and start discussing ailments. Oh, that's a no-no with a doctor, surely. Surely it is. It's got to be. I couldn't be doing with that, certainly. I mean, you hear some conversations at the checkouts to start with without going that way. No, don't make it happen. Wonder if the shortage of doctors will accelerate movement to medicine like in America. I honestly don't know what's going to happen with it. But I think maybe we could incentivize them more by paying the management less or having less management. I mean, you shouldn't need the number of levels of management. It's the trickle down thing through 17 levels of management before you actually get to anybody clinical that seems to be the issue to me. But what do I know? Oh, Dr. B was all set to go to Australia and then COVID happened. Oh, no. Could he go later, or is he like getting to the point where he then wants to be settled? I think running around's a young person's sport, I must admit. When I went to London, I was 19, and I loved it. I loved the pace of it, loved everything about it. By the time I was about 23, I thought, I just want to go home. I can't be doing with this. I think it just depends, maybe on what mood you're in or whatever. Oh, Australia is one of the hotspots for immigration. Better pay, better work-life balance, better training. Most people go for a year but end up staying. Then they realise how much better the system is. Oh, is it on your agenda, Pete? Something you might do or not? I guess it depends if you want that kind of lifestyle, doesn't it? Australian weather wouldn't do me, so I don't think I would. I've always fancied somewhere really cold. But I can't see that happening either. Renee's GP is funny. When you tell him your problems, he always had it too. Oh, maybe that's some kind of management technique. Or management that just works. Well, there's that as well, Pete, isn't there? I know personally some people who've been recruited by the NHS, and I've said to Mike, what for? They're an SEO expert. You know, why? That search engine optimization expert. So it'd be, oh, because they're doing this branding exercise. And I said, but Mike, it's the NHS. They don't have to sell it. You know, you need a doctor, you go to the NHS. Or you go private if you've got more money than sense. Why do you need an SEO expert? What for? That's just a waste of money. That really is. I agree you might need a website, but you certainly don't need the kind of website that Amazon would build for it, because you're not selling stuff like that. You only need the basics where you can see who the doctors are and stuff. Utterly ridiculous. Kim hated it when she'd run into patients. It seemed like you always had jeans on with the holes in them or something. Oh, Dr. B still wants to go. Well, hopefully he'll get the opportunity. Renee, TMI, TMI. Oh, good grief, I remember them. Sir Lancelot Spratt and Matron. Loved Hattie Jakes. She was fantastic. Do you know what? I'm surprised I actually watched so much medical stuff when I was a kid and found it funny. I guess, because I didn't enjoy anything medical related as a kid. But I did watch those programmes and think they were really funny. There's a better respect for doctors in general in ours. I would have thought there was quite a respect for doctors here, but when I see what goes on Twitter and stuff, on this course, this guy said we need to get on Twitter. And I thought, oh, no, we don't. Twitter's toxic. So he's explaining what we can do to reduce the toxicity and stuff. And I'm thinking it's still toxic. And it just seems no one has any respect for anybody else, doctor or otherwise. When my gran had a heart attack, it was 1985. And it was Boxing Day evening. So late on the 26th, early in hours of the 27th of December. And she'd been dashed in, so we dashed down there, and we're in A&E waiting in the waiting area. And it was fairly quiet when we arrived, which was probably about 10:30. By 1 in the morning, it was like a riot. People were just in there. I don't know whether they turned up for treatment, but they were drunk as a skunk. And, they were calling security and shifting them out. And you think, you really do need to have more respect for the people who are working here, the doctors, nurses, ancillary staff, all the rest. Possible exception of the management, but, they wouldn't be in at that time anyway, would they? Let's be honest. You could turn their offices into extra space or a cafeteria, something useful. But also respect for themselves. If you're that blind drunk, anything could happen to you. There just doesn't seem to be any decency of behaviour, let's put it like that. The Irish love Australia. You've heard the Australians are sick of us. I'm sure they're sick of us sending people down there. But that's where my hygienist went. Yeah, I love my hygienist. I'm not overly fond of my new hygienist. She does my head in, but the old one was fantastic. Really loved her. Twitter's draining the goodness out of people in so many ways. That's so true, Kim. And I got recommended this book that was explaining that the premise of this book was how we think we shape the world. So humans created the iPhone. But once it's out there, the iPhone and its ilk then start to shape us. Like people mindlessly scrolling. It's just too tempting to keep mindlessly scrolling. This was sort of saying you really have to get a grip on it in terms of you controlling your usage of the tech rather than the tech controlling you. And I also spoke to another lady last night. That was about 2 in the morning. I see I'm losing track. It was definitely today, so it must have been about 2 in the morning. And she was saying that Twitter was triggering her and she did not need that. And then she gave some examples and I'm like, whoa, and I thought my Twitter was toxic. this was people having a direct go at her. Possibly because of her name and if there's a photo up there, possibly because of her skin colour. But not knowing her in any other way. Just taking her name and her skin colour. And that was all that they were focusing on. And when I read what had been written to her, sent in DMs and stuff, it was worse than bad words, I can assure you. It was obscene. And she said, you can take the high ground, the moral high ground, and try and educate. She said, but sometimes you just don't need to see it. And I thought, I can totally understand that. So I kind of dip into Twitter and dip out rather quickly. I have actually thought maybe, because the people that I'm following, I've been following for years and years, and maybe I need to curate more. And back in the day, all the talk on Twitter was about tech. Oh, there's this new app out. Oh, there's a new Twitter client. Oh, it's amazing. And it just kind of, over the years, just became horrible with people having opinions on things they're not fit to have opinions on. So this guy has got 3 more weeks to convince me that Twitter's where it's at. At the moment, I'm still saying, I can see the benefit of a Twitter list. So make a list based on a hashtag or an interest and make that basically your main timeline rather than your other timeline. But I don't know. I will see how that goes. So we've got to control our tech. We have to remember that. We need to control our tech. Dee's got some cartoon, a newspaper cartoon. There being too many Irish nurses there or something. You don't remember the details. We have here a lot. I'm thinking about, is it Malaysia? Where the nursing qualification is similar. So it makes it easy for them to come over and get certified to work in the UK. And it reminded me of a nurse, and I cannot remember her name. But she worked at the private hospital. Was it St Mary's? I think it's St Mary's, but don't quote me. When Duchess of Cambridge was pregnant with her first child, Prince George, and she had the morning sickness thing. Is it hypergravidaris or something like that? Somebody rang from an Australian radio station and managed to get put through pretending to be the Queen. And she was so horrified by it, she committed suicide, the nurse. No one was particularly blaming her. I just thought it was a really stupid stunt. But how awful. It's a tough job. It is a tough, tough job. The pay is really bad for medical stuff. Is this in Spain, Tracy? See, I would have thought it would at least have been on average with what we would consider to be a profession, but maybe not. It's like the what you would get as an article clerk, as a solicitor, which is that's your 2 years as a baby solicitor. There is a minimum on that. But unfortunately, that minimum became the maximum, because as soon as there's a minimum, well, that's the maximum. You'd really have to try and go up to partner to make that much more. So in that case, I would say it's probably on a par with medicine. But I think there's a perception that after that, all doctors are rich. And maybe that upsets people as well. But do you know what? These days, pretty much everything upsets everybody. And we hear all about it on Twitter. Exactly as Renee said, Twitter's acidic. It is. One of Kim's friends sold a practice, moved to New Zealand, worked for a few years there, said he had to leave because he felt he couldn't work as hard as he was able to now. And now practices in the Arctic Circle in an Eskimo village. What? Now that sounds perfect for me. Is it cold? Is it really, really cold? Because that would really suit me. I've been sat here for, I think, about 36 hours with the fan right next to me. It's just muggy warm. We had a huge thunderstorm and I was thinking, great, it'll clear the air. No, it didn't. So we're still suffering that. D misses when people read books about things. Simpler times. Now reading two tweets about something's enough to make you feel you know all the details. I know, but that's kind of fed by people who do this thing called a tweet storm. And I remember somebody saying, I'm preparing a tweet storm. And I said, a what? You know, to me, Twitter's in the moment, but he was preparing a tweet storm, which is basically a series of interlinked tweets. So it'll start off with, I'm about to tweet storm, and then it'll be, there'll be a one and a two and a three on each tweet as it comes through. So I'm like, oh, okay then. It took him 6 weeks to create this tweet storm. And the problem with that is it was about a book. So it was a book summary in 8 tweets. And then you've got people coming back saying, thanks, you know, I don't need to read the book now. And I'm like, but that's his summary of it. You might take something totally different. But people have just got out of the habit of that kind of thing. That's why I say, when I'm in my book club and I'm in my courses, you're my people. Because they get me that I do actually read books. And I might make notes on books. But, you know, like people at church are like, oh, I read a book once. It was an Enid Blyton. Like, oh, okay then. Just the way it is. If they didn't take on extra shifts, most newly qualified doctors earn around €1,000 a month. That is not good, is it? That is not good. I could be wrong. Pete's probably in a much stronger position to know than me, but I heard it around 27,000 for a newly qualified doctor in the UK. But I don't know how accurate that is. That was the figure that I was quoted. If you Google that in search for it in YouTube, you will find a million different videos giving you a complete breakdown of what people earn and how they earn it in medicine. When you're newly qualified, you've got to pay for extra training. You have to work at the dental school 8 hours a day and work 3 part-time jobs at nights and weekends. See, that's just wrong, because you need more time to absorb the information you're taking in the day, and some time to just breathe. I don't know what the answer is. I don't. Because the laugh of it is, these medical students that are all over YouTube saying, you know, as a medical student, I earn £27,000 a year, also earn £1.5 million from YouTube. And they didn't mention that. Some of them are leaving medicine because of it. But then that, in a way, is like, why did you take a place up at medical school that could have been given to somebody who would have made a career of it and changed lives, and you're now sloping off to wherever to do something totally different, growing bananas? End of the lesson. Oh, it's getting on, isn't it? Right, I've got an 8:30, so I need to dash. Oh, Pete thinks the starting pay is 25 to 27 pre-tax in the UK. Does Danny have ads enabled, Kim? You can't really work it out, even if you know all the stats, you can't really work it out. But there are a couple of sites. I'll make a note to myself and have a look if we can give you a clue on that. Oh, dear me. So I'm going to say for the moment, good night from me. I'll say good night from Mike, who's in back-to-back meetings. And we will both see you next time. In the meanwhile, stay safe, folks.